World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Just pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, back in the saddle again. Yeah, back in the saddle again in the car. Actually, it's my wife's car. She gets a little bit better gas mileage than what I get. So I'm sitting in a little, I won't tell you what color it is in case there's snipers sitting around. I'm sitting in a little car out in the parking lot here, just someplace in Worthington, Ohio. I have to go back to Worthington Kilbourne School to do presentations this morning. It went really, really great yesterday. I'm not going to take the time to tell you about it. I finish up today. But, you know, the amazing thing is, guys, and we talk about this all the time, kids can't think. Most of us can't think. The kids really can't think. We poked a lot of holes in them. I talked to you about Chad Estes just yesterday. Your emotions will betray you, and showed him how our decisions are not logical, but emotional. It was very, very, really, really effective. You know, I know it's effective. Some of them really hated me, man. They really hated me. So I get to go back. Actually, there was a transgender in the class. What do you even say? And so I'm looking at this transgender, and I'm telling you, I don't know if it's a boy or a girl. Still don't know whether it's a boy or a girl. And talking about issues, and they asked me. I ain't no dummy, right? I did four classes. There's a transgender in one of them, and I think a transgender in another class. The teacher told me I never saw who that was. But the subject of Bruce Jenner came up, and boy, oh boy, was I able to ride horse on that one. So you guys, again, you know, you're emotional. You don't think logically. You talk about science and global warming and all that stuff and science and evolution. And yet here's a guy who's born with he's the world's greatest athlete as a male. World's greatest athlete as a male. And then all of a sudden he tells you he's a woman and you dummies believe it. And 6,000 years from now, when they bury him in a tomb and the next race of people dig him up, they're going to check out his DNA, and he's a man. He'll always be a man. And why are you guys so afraid to stand up and say what's going on and admit the truth that Bruce Jenner's sick? Bruce Jenner's sick. Oh, it's great. It's great. So that's what I spent yesterday doing. And then I want to say this. We're going to go to Mark Trump. Mark's all set up, queued up in his studio there to give us some good stuff. Sunday morning, I'm speaking at down in Logan, Ohio, Cornerstone Baptist Church in Logan, Ohio. If you're close down there, Google it, come and join us. I think it starts at 10:30. I don't get many opportunities to be speaking at church. I'm excited to be able to do it. Oh, man, the sun is coming from the side. Makes me look like I got deep wrinkles here. So sorry about that. Maybe if I turn, the sun coming up over my shoulder. And then I want to make sure that we all don't forget that tomorrow's Veterans Day. Respect all those guys and what they did. I love the soldiers. Military industrial complex. That's an entirely different story. And then I want to talk real briefly, and then I'm going to get off of it. Folks, if you believe the filth on Judge Roy Moore, I don't even know what to say to you. Now let me paint a picture for you real quickly, and then I'm not going to talk about it a whole lot more, okay? We'll talk about it on Monday. I want you to follow what's happened here. About a month ago, 5 weeks ago, however long it was, the left began to out their own. Harvey Weinstein. Kevin, what's his name?
Spacey.
Kevin Spacey. And then they get Corey Feldman start talking about more and more. And then this other guy comes out and says, now, Charlie Sheen did it. And they're out on all of their own. All of their own are being outed. And can I tell you why they're doing it? Yeah, come on, just put the dots together. They're trying to show us how righteous they are. See, they're so righteous that they find these guys and they're going to out them. They're not going to put up with it anymore. They're going to cleanse their party of these deviants. That's what they're going to do. And all along as they're doing it, they're making big news about them. We're cheering. Yeah, yeah, go get him, go get him. Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, one of Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals is to use their own values against them. And they've been setting this thing up all along so that when this news comes out about Judge Roy Moore, what are all the Republicans going to have to say? Oh, we got to get rid of him. We got to get rid of him. We got to get rid. It's been an absolute setup for how long? How long has it been a setup? And 40 years ago, no evidence of it, no police report. He said, she said, in a world where there was real news, this wouldn't even. Judge Moore said he's going to sue him for libel. He and backing down. And I think our response should be, how stupid do you think we are? How stupid do you think we are? I hope they vote him in by 10% percentage points more. But you know why we won't? Because we're programmed. Christians in particular are programmed. And so they floated out there, and we start scratching and said, oh, my goodness, are there other women? Could Judge Moore possibly have done? Oh, is he guilty? What's his statement against him? And then there comes McCain. There comes McConnell. Oh, he got to resign. You know why? They hate uncompromising godly men. Now, Judge Roy Moore, come on, was removed from office twice for being a godly man. Removed twice for being a godly man. And now, 6 weeks after Harvey Weinstein gets busted and they set this whole thing up, here it comes. Here comes the judge. Here comes the judge. It's a great opportunity for the church again, see. They use our own morality against us. See, they say, oh, we did it to ours. We got rid of Weinstein. We got rid of Spacey. And you guys are going to keep Judge Moore in there? No evidence. Just a rumor. No evidence at all. How stupid are we? I swear to God, how stupid we are. Don't bite it. Don't bite on it. Pray for Judge Moore. Pray for the situation. He ain't a quitter. Hey, guys, can I tell you something? I'm thinking about JR now. I'm thinking about a lot of you. I wonder if they went back 40 years in your life. I wonder if they'd find anything. Huh? I'd like to go back 4 months. I'd just like to go 4 months in Hillary Clinton's life. I'd just like them to look at that. Just 4 months. Just go back 4 years. Do that, right? No, we got to go back 40. 40 years. At least 40 years. Unbelievable. So I'm going to say, because I want to give Mark Trump some time. I met Mark Trump. You guys say, who's Mark Trump? Well, Mark Trump, I met him in Boise, Idaho. I won't go into the details. We're out there speaking at a Hear the Watchman conference. And Mark comes up to me. I spoke, and Mark came up afterwards, came up to the table and said, man, wow, Coach, I got to get together with you. And we did end up getting together, and he and his wife came out. And by the way, Mark, thanks for the offering that you made to the ministry yesterday. I appreciate that. And I said, well, what, you know, get to know you. What's going on? What? He said, well, for lack of a better word, I said, I'm a cyber expert. What? What's that? Cyber sleuth. He said, oh, yeah. He says, you know, there are people out there, they can break into about anything in regards to the internet. He says, that's my expertise. Cyberspace. I understand all that stuff. And so we had a very unique conversation regarding that. And I've been telling you guys that he was going to come on, going to talk about the Mandela effect, but he sent me a email this morning. Says, Coach, I can't start with the Mandela effect. I got to start with something else so people can understand. Even they're not ready for a Mandela effect yet. I got to open the door up to some other stuff. So Mark Trump, the floor is yours, brother. Jump in here.
Thanks, Coach. I sent a file over. Did Jared get that file by any chance? Did you send that to him?
Yeah. Did you get it, Jared? No, he sent a file. He sent it to me.
A Word document. I didn't send it to Jared's email.
Is it in the
email? Just making sure.
Hang on, Mark. You just start talking, Mark, and give me a minute.
That sounds good.
Give me a minute.
That sounds good. Video that to do, and if Silver's on here, is he on here? Want to do some reading?
Joe Silver, you in there, brother? I
Daniel.
If he's not, I'm going to read for you, Mark.
Yeah, Daniel 41 through 44 is a Bible verse I'd like to reference.
Hey, Mark, here's what I'm thinking, man. Oh, there it is. I'm sorry, Mark. I thought you had sent it to Jared. Jared, it's coming your way. Hang on. Mark, just give us a second. Hey, Mark, tell us a little bit about you before you get in, okay?
Sure.
A little credibility of who you are, what you do.
Absolutely. Started off as a hillbilly, hung around the other night with some of your folks here, and really glad to be a part of this. But started off as a hillbilly. I went into nuclear power in the Navy when I was 18. I did electronics in Virginia Tech before, like in 10th and 11th grade, I got to go to Tech and spend some time. So in electronics, and really I hate computers, Dave. I hate them. They're one of the evils, I think, that led us down this path, or should I say one of the things we've used for evil, but I got into high security electronics with Medico security locks and worked with major cities protecting treasuries, money, and all that all over the world, and I ended up getting into protecting power plants. Is my sound any better now, guys?
Yeah, you're doing good. You're doing good, Mark. I sent it to Jared, so he now has what I sent to you. Sent to him.
Jared, so when you get that up, you're welcome to follow along. When you get the Bible verse up, we can read that.
So you started working in
power plants and doing cybersecurity, protecting fossil and nuclear power plants from cyber attacks, doing assessments, finding vulnerabilities, ways in. Buying a fishing boat. I just got so busy, I started a company, Fox Guard Solutions, and it grew and grew and grew, and I ended up quitting, starting a fishing company. So I was a commercial tuna fisherman for a year and a half, serving God. I planned to shape up the industry. I went out there pounding my chest, you know, pushing God out in front of me, but he wasn't behind me. And it didn't work. He didn't want me to do that. So I got back into cybersecurity. It's just like it. It's where God wants me, so I've submitted. And hopefully y'all can hear me. Sound check, everybody okay there?
Yeah, we can hear you.
You're breaking up.
All right, so it's a mixed bag. I'll speak slow. Interrupt me if you need to.
Hey, Mark, listen. You're really clear to me. I think if some people aren't hearing you, maybe it's their own connection. You've not missed a beat with me.
All right, sounds good. So Daniel 41:44, is Silver ready to read that?
Jared, can you pull that up there? And Joe, can you read that for us? Hey, Jared,
Daniel, all good point.
Jared, it's on what I just sent you. I just forwarded you something from Mark. And when you open it up, it'll be right there. Okay.
So let me start with the story about my Aunt Dottie. This is where I'm going, but I got to set the stage. My aunt passed away, and my wife went to Craigslist and found a sewing machine. We went to this house, bought a sewing machine, $20. And on the way out the door, the lady, total stranger in the neighboring town, said, "Listen, I worked with your Aunt Dottie. Amazing person. We used to go to dinner." And I looked at my wife and I said, "Did you talk to her?" And she said, "No." So how did this lady know? And she saw the look on my face and she's like, "Listen, I'm on Ancestry.com. And I looked you up and I found your family. So I knew you were related to your Aunt Dottie." So the story is, years ago, I was sitting beside the mother of the daughter who founded Ancestry.com, and she gave me a subscription. So I jumped on there, of course, and uploaded all my documents, and they were for the public to see. So it really opened my eyes to just privacy don't exist. Anything you do, it seems like a convenience, but what does it mean? Later, a lady had what I call a social engineering. She had found me, found who I'm related to. If she had been an attacker, she could have orchestrated an email about anybody. And that's how to do it. So that's called social engineering.
So there is no privacy. There's absolutely, We think there's
no privacy. That's exactly right, Dave. And one of the things I did to kind of prove the theory is I created a virtual person. So I created a person that didn't exist, and I put it out there in the world and the social networks, and this person starts getting addressed for this false personality.
Yeah.
And possible to build yourself up, even have job interviews and do things like that, and just not be that digital person you've created. Fully possible, extremely scary, and extremely compromisable. So daily, I probably get 5 or 10 hacks a day, people trying to get me to click on something, and I save these, and then I look out online and find out where they're coming from. So we actually track the actors all the way back to the countries they're in, and when they move from country to country and hack from different places. So, amazing.
Let me stop, Mark.
Mm-hmm. Well, yep.
Maybe on a later show, but you could certainly explain to us then this whole Russian hacking thing. You really understand the depth of what they're talking about here, don't you, Mark?
Yeah, it's all fake news, so to speak, because the Russians have been hacking us for decades.
Coach? Those on YouTube are stating the sound is skipping and not clear.
Did you hear that, Jim?
Hey, Coach, I'm here.
Okay, hang on a second. Some of us are having trouble. On YouTube, maybe you're having trouble. I don't know what we can do about it, Mark. We're just going to continue to do the best we can. Just roll with it. Now, Jared, do you have up on what I sent you from Mark? Okay, throw that up there. Joe, I'm off of my phone, so I can't see very much. Go ahead and read that, Joe. I'm sorry, Mark, I cut you off, brother. Earlier you were telling the story, I cut you off. So go ahead, Mark. Get that up. Silver, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Daniel 41 through 44, what chapter is that? I can't see what chapter it is.
No idea.
Okay. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, forasmuch as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever.
Wow, that's pretty profound. Go ahead, Mark.
He's not there anymore.
He's not with us?
Maybe he's trying to reset to see if it's on his income.
24, I'm going to drop out. Maybe he can't get back in.
I don't think that's it, Ray. It looks like there's 23 of us in there. There should be room for one more. Go ahead. Hey, Ray, go ahead and do that. Drop for a second, see if that opens up a spot for you again. Folks, I'm sorry, man. I'm not going to blame the devil. I'm not going to do what everybody says. The devil doesn't want this to happen, but we do this show 5 days a week. And we don't usually have interference like this. There's trouble on, tech
Some couldn't hear. And I'm thinking maybe he tried to reset and come back in. Have you seen any sign of that yet, Jared? I don't see him either. So I'm sure he's trying to do it. Well, what would it be ready in season and out of season? And right now, Mark's out of season, middle of a show. Jump in here. What's somebody got to say? Somebody jump in here.
Hey, Dave, can I say something? Dave?
Yeah.
Jared, here's my question. I'm all supportive of Roy Moore. Don't get me wrong. And there's been times when I've been in courtroom cases, I can't get a witness to remember something that happened 9 months ago. I just don't understand how they have four people saying these things. Is it that diabolical? Is it that coordinated that they can get four people to come forth? Is it that bad now?
Well, first, yeah, I think so, Roger. But first of all, remember this. Three of the people said he hit on them. That's all. That's all he did. He tried to start a relationship. That's what three of the people say. The fourth one said something what else. Is it that diabolical? Hey, Roger. Money talks, brother. That's what I would. Roger, come on, man. Do you remember 40 years ago? Do you remember girls that you were hanging out with 40 years ago? Come on, somebody on here, somebody help me out.
Coach, when I talk to folks, I talk about what I'm doing, and I talk about my relationship with Christ, I'll tell them that Paul was the chief of sinners. That's what he called himself. Right. He finished in first place. And I'll quickly say after that, guess who finished in second place?
I'm with you.
And that was me. And you're right, come on, I mean, I'm a Christian now. I'm a much different person than I was before. And 40 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 15 years ago.
Yeah, but you see how they set him up, though, right?
Absolutely. Look, I knew something. This is the October surprise in November. And they've been sitting on this for a while, just waiting for the right time. And with the Harvey Weinstein and the Charlie Sheen, it's a perfect time to present this. The iron's hot.
Hey, Roger, or JR, folks, listen to this. You ready for this? Listen to me. I'm not mad at the Democrats. I believe the Republicans are behind this. You see how quick McCain bent over? McConnell bent over? Every one of them bent over. See, if they'd have stood and defended him, think about how the left defended Bill Clinton through all that mess he went through. Not one person on the left turned against Bill Clinton. And you better wake up and you better understand that the deep state is one party. They are all on the same team. And their worst nightmare is Judge Roy Moore, who twice lost his job for righteousness' sake. Twice lost his job for righteousness' sake. Now the only thing they can try to do is make him appear to be one of them. That's the only thing that they can do, see? And if we fall for this, folks, if we fall for this, they're trying to do the same thing to Trump. The same thing. It's over and over and over. What's the guy who ran for president? Cain? What, remember him? They did it to him. They did it to him, too.
Hey, Coach.
Modus operandi. At what point are we going to find something different? Hillary Clinton. She's a crack. She's a crack. Obama.
Exactly.
Obama has more stuff hidden about him than he could ever hide. We don't even know for 100% truth where he was born. We don't even know where he went to school. Dig into that. But 40 years ago, Judge Moore did something with some 14-year-old girl. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Hey, by the way, I worked at Columbia University. He never.
No, he didn't. No. See, I don't want to refight that war because they'll just try to make us look like a fool. Right Wing Watch is already typing it now. The coach is saying this about Obama. I'm just telling you, folks. If you don't think we're in a war, if you don't. They're after, hear me, they're not accusing Trump of being a Christian, and they're after him. Why?
Because he's anti-swamp. Why are they after Judge Moore? Because he's anti-swamp. That's why they're after Judge Moore. He don't bow to the government. That's why. They could put up with his Christianity. They could put up with all that stuff, but they ain't going to put up with some guy in a position of authority who says there's some king other than the government. They're not going to put up with that. See? That's what this battle's about. Oh, my God.
I'm back, Coach.
Hey, it's Daniel chapter 2, by the way.
There you go. Sorry about that. So this is basically what I'd like to base the day on.
Boy, do you sound better now. Go.
Good, good, good. So, Joe on, or do you want me to read this?
Joe read it. I think we all heard it. So
all right. So slide on to the next one, and you can just go through it with me, Jared, if you could. So really, if you can hear me, what it comes down to is social engineering. If you want to go to the next page, Jared. And the way that you can what we're doing is dealing with all of the conveniences, such as data makes everything convenient. Automation makes everything convenient. Have you heard of the Amazon button? Has anybody heard of that?
No.
It's a button you put on your refrigerator. You push the button, and a UPS driver shows up with a quantity of goods from Amazon. So they got Jack Daniels buttons and Tide buttons and orange juice buttons and Coca-Cola buttons. So you stick these things all over your house, and you can look the Amazon Dash button is what it's called. But it's convenience. But what does it mean? So let me give you an idea of what your social networks can do and how that works real quick. I explained a little bit about how your ancestry can be tracked. But you can take a phone, call it a burner phone, and get a contact list from all the major executives from a certain company, say, or say all of nuclear energy or all of federal systems or whatever. You get names, and you only load those names in your contact list on that phone. And then you set up Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all those other social apps, and it'll automatically start asking you to add those people to your network. So what happens is the Google Analytics, the LinkedIn, the Facebook Analytics are going to build you a list of people to attack with that phone. So you can then craft warm emails to these people on your new phone list, and you don't even have an identity to this person. So it's another way that data is being utilized. Now, why is that? It's because of things like the Patriot Act. So in the U.S., we passed this evil law, which grants the government access to anything American. So any American company has to have open communications in their technologies. If it's encrypted, it's got to be a standard that's encrypted so the government can open the packet. You've seen this. We heard about the Alexa case down in Arkansas. And the links I'm providing here, you can send this out to the whole group, and everyone will have these links. But the Alexa case, you see right there, the voice assistant, the Powers Echo, and more is always listening, sending what you say after using a wake word. Well, don't you think we could just leave the wake word on if they're capturing data from a murder scene or something like that? I mean, if they had preemptive knowledge and the government has the Patriot Act, they could easily gather that data from all these devices we carry around. So I did want to use Google Voice and Google Plus and all this stuff.
Mark, does that mean they already have data from what happened inside that church?
Yeah, well, to some extent, yes, absolutely. They could piece together the data from various systems, various phones, various technologies into one data set and piece the voices together, absolutely. So, I actually went into my Google archive, and I left y'all a link there on how to do it. Each platform has a different way to do it. But part of the law says you got to give the consumer access capability. So right there is what I did. I clicked here and clicked there, followed the rules, and I downloaded 550 gigabyte files on my records on Google. And I clean my tracks. So it's hard to tell how much data
is sitting for every person. That's just the Google data set they had on me. Let's go to the next one. So you got to go ahead.
They have a Google data set on me?
Everyone. Absolutely. Everyone. Everyone's got a data set, and some of the biggest data sets are coming in from companies like the big telcos, for instance, the big search engine companies, the big social, the biggest facial recognition database the government uses is Facebook and LinkedIn. Because just like Ancestry.com, we put the data there for them. That's what it means. We're populating their records for them with all of these devices and subscriptions and pictures. It's just what happens. We're doing it.
We think we're just talking to our friends, and we are, but somebody's listening.
Right. So really where this goes, it's a compressed, it's a lot of information. Maybe we can get through it. If not, we'll cover some another day. But you start to get into the technologies they're using, the hardware, and that's my specialty is I deal with hardware. So if you got 4 minutes, play that first link.
We got 4 minutes. Go ahead and play that, Jared.
Just think of that.
This is a thought experiment. Let's say at some point in the not-so-distant future, you're barreling down the highway in your self-driving car, and you find yourself boxed in on all sides by other cars. Suddenly, a large, heavy object falls off the truck in front of you. Your car can't stop in time to avoid the collision, so it needs to make a decision. Go straight and hit the object, swerve left into an SUV, or swerve right into a motorcycle. Should it prioritize your safety by hitting the motorcycle? Minimize danger to others by not swerving, even if it means hitting the large object and sacrificing your life? Or take the middle ground by hitting the SUV, which has a high passenger safety rating. So what should the self-driving car do? If we were driving that boxed-in car in manual mode, whichever way we'd react would be understood as just that, a reaction, not a deliberate decision. It would be an instinctual, panicked move with no forethought or malice. But if a programmer were to instruct the car to make the same move, given conditions it may sense in the future, well, that looks more like premeditated homicide. Now, to be fair, self-driving cars are predicted to dramatically reduce traffic accidents. And
so you can go back to the document. So the real deal is here is the government has decided that they can drive cars safer than we can. They've passed laws to allow cars to drive for us whenever they decide to. We no longer have that. They will automatically brake now. They'll automatically, some do evasive maneuvers now. It's law, okay? The first automated beer delivery, October of 16, semi-trucks going down the road with these same ethical dilemmas without a person behind the wheel. And we don't have a choice in this. This is the point. This is where the kings have came together, made these decisions for society led by Satan to basically dumb us down even more, take more control of us and so forth. But then Uber does the same thing out in California with these self-driving cars, and they get kicked out of California because they're running red lights. Well, who bought the semi-truck operation? Otto. Uber buys the self-driving truck system. Otto. So now you got Uber that's running red lights, driving semi-trucks, and that's the technologies that are out there. Now, back to the self-driving. All of these technologies are only good as the programmers. That scenario is real, guys. You are going to be faced with that in the very near future. You're going to have litigation right now. Who gets sued? Is it the car manufacturer? Is it the driver? The litigation comes about because it's a decision prior to the fact of that car getting into that situation.
So, Mark, if I find myself squeezed in between two cars, a self-driving car, the program will determine which person is least valuable. Pretty much that's what it's saying, right? I'll have no decision.
Which person dies. That's right. That's right. And the idea is the programmer, it's only as good as the programming that went into the decisions, the sensors on that vehicle to detect black ice, to detect a ball rolling out in the street, to detect another motorcycle swerving in this situation, y'all just, I mean, how good is the programming? So their basis for this is that the computer's program is going to save our lives 6% of the time, where we might have lost our lives 8% of the time. So that's how they were able to legislate this technology and get it in there.
So the program's smarter than your natural reaction. So to take your natural reaction out of there for safety concerns, it's always safety concerns. The computer's
right.
going to tell you which person to hit.
That's how they get it through. That's how they cloak it. And if you look at my LinkedIn, which I would encourage you guys to go do, it's where I put all of this has been in my LinkedIn for a long time. It took me a bit to assemble it. But, yeah, it's all there. And I work, you know, for a large company who builds this stuff. So we are being very cautious. So one of the questions asked is, are there actually good uses? Well, where did this come from? Autonomy come from safety needs, like running drones out over the battlefield to save planes, you know, the reconnaissance. But then we put bombs on them. You know, that's an autonomous vehicle. A boat. We got boats that we can go pick seals up. And they don't have pilots. They drive to warm areas of the water. They have IR signatures. They can find troops in the water, pick them up safely under the darkness, bring them back to the ship. We have currently at least, I would say, 4 ships right now with self-driving launches that deploy SEALs and pick up SEALs and things. So, yes, there are good things, but what do we do when sin enters the picture? We turn them into things. I remember at the Boise conference, nuclear medicine and nuclear war. What a powerful thing for us to be given, and then we use it for destruction. So next slide, Jared. So where's all this go? It goes into machines, it goes into programming, and then you finally turn it loose, and what happens? Hey, they have an accident. This was printed, what, 16 hours ago? I have to update my slides anytime I do a speaking thing because, look, this is 16 hours ago. This information is that I'm bringing to you guys. And it's getting faster. So the acceleration of technology change is going way beyond our ability to protect it. So they're just pushing it through legislation to get this stuff out there. We're subject to the result. And yeah, there's going to be accidents. That's what it all comes down to. Next slide. It's machines. It's machines being driven by programs. So where does that go? Well, we're not going to get into all the little gadgets that go into our bodies just yet, but y'all have heard about all these robots and AI. The artificial for much longer. That's my guess. We have robots that are anatomically correct. The skin is 3D printed using titanium dioxide. You can't even tell it from real. People are having relationships with these robots, and there's ethical dilemmas around that. Some people are saying that the social interaction is causing people to be less human and less moral. You become attached to a machine and you no longer need people. Well, do we have an example? Yeah, do we got an example of that in our life, Dave?
I'm sorry. How many of us?
Yeah.
Let me stop you because I think it's important. Jared, scroll back up to what Joseph read to us. Could you do that, folks? Listen, we're not going to read it again, but I want you to imagine this now.
Mm-hmm.
What does miry clay? What does clay represent in this statue of Nebuchadnezzar? Well, clay represents man, right? Man's made out of dirt, out of the dust of the earth. Clay represents man.
Amen.
What do we see happening? We see the mixture of man with technology. Do you see this? Do you understand how prophetic Daniel is? And it's talking about the mixing together of human beings with technology. This is all foretold.
It absolutely is. This is where I'm going. So that's a very blatant, absolutely, Dave. That's a very blatant area where the Bible discovers technology and how it's going to be used. And there's very few clear traces of what the future looks like. If you think about John writing, seeing these things, how in the world was he to put together words around this? So the problem is people are thinking that with, well, right here you got society's acceptance, the second picture. Imagine marrying an animal, a goat. I think that's been done. People are marrying animals. Here we are, we got a robot that's turned into a citizen. People are going to be marrying robots. Talking about killing the population. They got robots you can inseminate and actually have a baby.
How about that? So in other words, man, a robot that will always be ready to have sex with you, always love you, always tell you how beautiful you are, always tell you, just, my goodness.
Yeah, go to the next slide.
That's nirvana.
Yeah, go to the next slide. This is where it's going. And this is kind of like, grab your seats, guys, because this is where it's been for decades, okay? And we've been informed of this. Go ahead, scroll the next one. It's sickening. But yeah, sex robots, all the technologies that allow remote operation of sexual machines, all the way up and including a full life person. Go up one. One right before that. Yeah, it's kind of are you there yet? But I got a couple slides, couple shots. Yeah, on sex robots. So it goes that you got a regular person that lives with you. They take in all five senses. They have analytics, some of the most advanced in the world, to simulate eye movement, to simulate speech patterns, inflection. This stuff is the hardest for AI. Eye movements, showing nonverbal communication.
AI is artificial intelligence, man-made intelligence.
Artificial intelligence. So we've not combined with them at that, but we are definitely entering that crossover. Now, in the next session, if I have a chance, if God lets me, I'll show you all the brain implants that they're doing to actually connect yourself to things and ways that happens. But this sexual robot thing is one of the biggest areas of investing going on in the world right now. So it's being driven by millions and millions and millions of dollars. So a whole shipment, and then it gets worse. You know the anime and the young children cartoons they use over in Japan? Well, all of those little children were modeled into robots, and now they're selling them to pedophiles. Okay? So go back to the next slide. Yeah, I don't have it on mine, but y'all see that, right? And that's a Japanese company building and shipping those. So I have two articles on my LinkedIn, one from Australia that says as soon as these things made it to Australia, the president of Australia, the prime minister, confiscated them and destroyed them at the port and banned them from Australia. And you read an article from New York Times within the same week, and New York Times says, look what you'll be able to do soon. Soon you'll be able to buy yourself a child and do whatever you'd like.
Mark, let me stop you right there, Mark, because this is fascinating. I don't want to hurt this too much, because I know these guys got a lot of questions. Let me, guys, this popped into my head the other day as I was driving down the road. I was in Indianapolis, and I put into my phone where I wanted to go, whether they call that MapQuest or whatever it is, and I put in there. And I'm driving down the road, and all of a sudden, this voice is telling me in 500 feet, turn right onto McVivor Road, then go down, turn left on Junes Road. And I'm thinking, how in the heck, number one, is this lady reading every one of these streets? Has she read every one of these streets? Is there somebody sitting someplace with a microphone who's recording every street in America? How in the heck are they doing this? Well, this is the forerunner, see? This is the forerunner to this. It's on our phone.
Yeah.
Siri's talking to us. Google Maps
talking
to us. This is all a forerunner of this, of the mixture of the mud and the iron together. Right, Mark?
Well, it's getting to that. They're learning how to do it. Like right now, these are separate. They're not connected. But as soon as we start doing this, the parts of our body, improving our body parts, which I got articles on that for us next time. Go to the next slide. Where this goes quickly in the next couple minutes is we're being warned now by some of the biggest and most well-known physicists and brains in the industry, Elon Musk, Stephen Hawking. So if you go to the next couple slides, it's a slippery slope. So you combine all of these senses, sensory systems, analytics, they're connected. So all these systems, all these robots are connected, all these autonomous people or whatever are connected. So yeah, to the machine, it's going to become a hive mind because they're being taught emotion. They're being taught how to respond to our emotion. So they're going to learn.
Elon Musk says right here on my screen, humans must merge with machines or become irrelevant in the...
Yeah, go to the next slide.
Age.
Hey, Mark, yeah, and this will top it off.
That's clay and iron mixing together, isn't it?
Yes, that absolutely is. Absolutely. That's where it's going. So now that you got all these machines, why do you want to have to raise your voice and talk to them? Why wouldn't you want to just think about an action?
Oh, my.
Well, Coach.
And just tell your machine what to do through a thought. That's us connecting to a system. The chips are the beginning of that, that Russ Dizdar showed us. So go to the next slide there. And this is really the latest I heard is even as soon as 3 days ago, Stephen Hawking, 4 days ago, put out another warning about AI and the dangers of it. So it's the last bullet there. What happens when artificial intelligence has the ability to process emotions and then it flips the observation bit? The moment that a machine determines that humans are bad for them, all it takes is one bit. And we're giving them autonomy. We're giving them decision making. That's why these guys are so concerned. These machines are basically have supernatural powers.
Especially with mind-numb robots to begin with, right, Mark? People who no longer can think for themselves and programmed to...
Absolutely. So what you need to do is look at the world around you and anything that's connected. If you hold your phone in your hand, how many ways can you connect to it? Well, you can plug a cord into it. You can go through wireless. You can go through cellular. You can go through Bluetooth. You can go through every possible connection that brings hackers in. Now you got robots with all of these technologies, and you got machines that can be hacked through. So I can just put light pulses or sound waves or actually on a DNA decoder, I can put spit onto a slide, change it, and hack a machine. So Mark, the idea is all of this can be hacked. It's all vulnerable.
Mark, I've got a question. Can I ask a question? Mark?
Yeah, go ahead, Roger.
Yes.
I'm 57, and let's assume that much of what you're saying I agree with. Let's just say I agree. Like in the typical American's day, raising a family in 100 words or less, 20 mm-hmm. years now. What does the thing look like, in your opinion?
Have you seen The Island? The movie The Island with Scarlett Johansson?
I don't think so.
Scarlett Johansson in that movie, she was a clone. So they had long made humans extinct because we have DNA issues. The sun breaks them down because we fell from sin in the Garden of Eden. And that's what happened. Now the sun breaks down our DNA and we age. So they fix that. And it's going to be like that in the future. Why would you want to die a mere 100-year lifespan? You know, I mean, people are going to sign up for this DNA 23andMe and then send off for the packet where they can re-encode their DNA. I have friends who've done it. Okay.
Am I get up and get in my car and drive it? Or am I ever going to the grocery store again or is the...
Exactly. It's an unknown future, but sci-fi has been pretty good about getting it right. And I'll close off with this. We can answer questions, but go to this last verse in the Bible, or the last slide with the Bible verse. Yeah, that's what 5G is all about, guys. So we'll be talking more, okay? I'm going to be watching. I'm here with you guys, okay?
Excellent.
Read that, Joe. Read that last Bible verse for us.
The First John, or both of them?
Yeah.
Both of them, yeah.
Okay, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And from 1 John 2, 15, and 7, 15, 16, and 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
Well, hey, Jared, go back up to the top again. Joe, I want you to read Daniel again. I think Rich said it was Daniel 2, I think he said. I want him to read this again. I want you to think about this now.
We can't and have her doing
Mark
up every...
told us, knowing that clay represents human man, and iron represents this artificial Babylonian system, artificial intelligence, and all these creations of men, the mixture of these two. Joe, read all that again now, guys and girls, with that in mind, what he's talking about.
And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes and part of the potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, forasmuch as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Earth, miry clay. Hey guys, what is miry clay? What's the difference between clay and miry clay? Does anybody know? Because I think I do. Anybody? Jared, look up miry real quick. M-I-R-Y.
Does it mean wetter?
Miry clay.
Wetter clay? Like looser?
Dirty?
I think it's dirty. What's it? Do you find, is it I'm on my phone, so I can't see. What does it say? Yeah, wet, miry. Folks, listen to this.
We're all right.
Please understand this. Christians are not part of the miry clay. We're not part of that miry clay, see? And so what we're seeing is the unsaved world is mixing with unsaved humans. It's miry clay, wet clay, that really is of no value. You sink in it. You get trapped in it. Guys used to play horseshoes and horseshoe pits. They had miry clay. You threw your horseshoe and it's stuck in it, see?
And so this is a very clear message that of what we just read, what Joe just read, that we have to keep ourselves unspotted from the world so that we are not miry clay mixing with all this technology that's going on around it. Let me open it up here. We got about 6 minutes. Somebody,
I got one thing, Coach.
Yep.
Okay. In light of this and what we've brought in, and Mark, thank you so much for this. In light of this, and we can now, most of us here, or those who watch this, can clearly see the direction that we're heading. What is the one thing that we need to do to save our nation? To help save our nation? How about let's exercise this call for repentance, which goes on tomorrow?
Mm.
Okay.
Amen.
I think we are aware of this. Okay. And I'm trying to remember the name of the website. JR, you have it. Strike Force of Prayer. There it is. Okay. And check it out. And I will be there tomorrow with this. But let's call the nation to repentance.
Excellent.
Amen. I guess I would ask, with this information, be more vigilant. Conveniences always mean something. What does it mean to take advantage of that convenience?
Right. You're always giving up something, so never do.
Yeah, Mark, I could say my experience with this too. My brother, some practical steps are you start being inconvenient with your passwords. You start being inconvenient with your username.
Exactly.
And you start, like for me, I put a whole separate Google account on my phone than what's on my computer, than what's on my laptop. All separate Google accounts, you know. You start breaking up, make it harder for them to figure out who you are.
That's right.
Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. I can't remember my password as it is.
I know it's a pain, but you know what you got to do? You have to deal with it, brother. Otherwise, you give yourself up to the machine, and we can't do that.
Wouldn't that be an advantage of a VPN is to throw in more inconvenience?
Yes, absolutely. Anything that you can do slows the hackers down. Hackers are lazy. They set up automated scripts. They come in the morning and check them. They're going to attack people that have their pants down. They're not going to spend a lot of time, unless they're getting paid for a targeted attack, they're not going to spend time hacking through somebody who's defending themselves.
Right. That's why most of the viruses attack PCs and not Macintoshes, because they don't have the breadth and width of
population.
You know what the biggest problem is, boys? The people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And I use technology, but I ain't got any idea how it works. And I would say that that's where 90% of America, well, not that high, 90% of people my age, maybe the younger kids understand it. Mark Trump's a freak. Most people don't know what Mark Trump knows, right? Most of us were just sheep. We're just sheep for the slaughter, just following along all this technology, loving our new phone when it comes out, and getting the next new phone, and then the next new phone, and
that's
going on
Facebook
and going everywhere. We're just dudes. They're mixing us into miry clay.
The area, Dave, where we're not physically connected, but we are mixing. I want everybody to challenge yourself to put your phones away for 2 days. Don't touch them. If that's going to cripple your life, then you are connected, even though it's not buried under your skin. And that's kind of the measure you got to give new technologies. Are you willing to do without it when the power goes down?
Jared, can we make this available to people on the queue, the ones who are listening who can't see it? Can we make this stuff available on our website, is it okay if we do that, Mark?
It's all open information. There's nothing secret there. It's all right on the web. I made sure of that for you.
It'll be up on our website.
Today's episode. What's that, Jared?
It'll be on under today's episode.
Okay, it'll be on there under today's episode. Folks, this is just, my goodness. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, and It is unbelievable. Mixing the clay with the iron. Understand this. It's got to be that miry clay.
Yeah, this is part one. Part three is likely on the subject.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the way you think and renewing of your mind. God bless you, Mark. Thanks for all that great information. Have a great weekend, folks. JR tomorrow at 10 o'clock. See you on Monday. Turn off your phone!